welcome back to another episode of the PAX What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we are here talking about week one of the NFL season. We've made it to kickoff for the very first time in over 50 years. The Packers, or just the NFL in general, will be playing a Friday night game, and that'll involve the Packers. So Perry, let's talk about it.
Whoa! Crazy. We made it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so this is the sixth straight year that the Packers are traveling for week one, which just seems crazy. I mean, it's felt that way for a handful of years, but hearing that it's six, the Packers are about due for a home opener, I think, in the next season, because they do a ton of traveling in week one. But yeah, a very cool historic matchup on deck for the Packers here, going to Sao Paulo, Brazil, the first regular season NFL game in the history of South America, which is a very, very cool thing for Green Bay. As we are recording this now, the Packers flight actually just landed. So they have made it to Brazil, touchdown, and now they'll have some time to acclimate before the game on Friday night. So Perry, let's go ahead and get started, because we know obviously they're playing the Eagles, and this is a very different Eagles team than what we've seen in the last couple seasons. Still probably going to be a very good Eagles team, but lots and lots of changes on the roster.
Yeah. We were talking about this pre-show. And I think, you know, we remember the team a few seasons ago that went to the Super Bowl that had probably one of the best defensive lines we've seen in quite some time. Top five historic team in sacks and defensive pressures. And you just knew that that team was not going to be able to stay together. That's a not something that you can pay. But there's also been, I think, even more changes, if you will, on the offensive side of the ball in the wide receiver room. And notably, I think the biggest change is losing Jason Kelce on the offensive line. Just a keystone rock of this offensive line for how many years. He is no longer with this team. So how is that going to look? How is that going to just like ripple effect and affect the entire rest of this offense? Is the little shove that they do going to change? We will see. But yes, there's major changes on both sides of the ball. And this is not the same Eagles team that we've seen the last few years. And I think that's probably a good thing for them, because they really imploded at the end of the 2023 season. They went from looking like a lock and a shoe-in to make a deep playoff push to just absolutely collapsing on themselves. So they were in need of some changes going into the season.
Yeah, and you mentioned notable, obviously, Jason Kelce has retired. They brought in Jahan Dotson from Washington, which I know is the interdivisional addition that everybody is thinking of. Also brought in that one running back, Saquon Barkley from the Giants. he is going to make a difference for that offense, obviously already having Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, and of course your dual threat quarterback in Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert at tight end. There's a lot to like when you look at that offense and what it's capable of, even with the loss of an all-pro like Jason Kelce. I think that offensive line is going to be really good still. And I think that is kind of a testament to how the Eagles draft and develop their players, the same way we talk about the Packers offensive line. So
no,
I like the pieces that they have. Like, I think Cam Jurgens is going to be great.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, they got Mekhi Becton as well, who's trying to have a kind of like resurgence, if you will, in his still very young career. You know, he was only drafted in 2020 and going to be starting for them on their offensive line. So their core is the same, aside from the aforementioned, like you said, Saquon Barkley coming in for them at running back. And I mean, that's a huge get for them. I mean, to state the obvious, but for a team that's, I think, best known for their running game, despite having two fantastic wide receivers, to get a Saquon Barkley, who's had to be the bell cow on the Giants for his entire career, just being run into the dirt, even attempting to get 3-4 yards. I think Saquon is going to be put in the best position he's ever been in his career, behind one of the best, I mean, the best offensive line he's probably ever going to play in. play behind. He's going to be explosive, and he's going to be asked to carry the load again, but not in the same way, because they are going to pass the ball. And they are also going to probably run the ball a little bit with, I don't know, a Kenneth Gainwell or whoever else, you know, with Jalen Hurts too. But he is still going to get like the majority of the touches. But I just think he's going to be so much more efficient when he does get those touches. He's not going to be fighting for his yards nearly as much as we've seen in the past, which is going to be great for a player that's already had a few like really difficult injuries in his career. So scary to think about a Saquon who is already really tough to defend behind not that great of an offensive line and honestly not on the best offense for his entire career. And now he's going to be even tougher.
Yeah, and I was really curious. So I looked this up earlier, and last season, the Eagles were eighth in yards, like rushing yards, eighth with their existing backs, you know, with DeAndre Swift, with Jalen Hurts, and fifth in rushing touchdowns. And if you compare that to their passing game, they were 16th, and that's with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So I think that that's a really interesting contrast, too, is that they had a very efficient run game already. And then they just added more firepower to it. Like, yes, they lost DeAndre Swift to the Bears, but, you know, however you feel about that, fantasy statistics aside, they upgraded at the running back position here. And he upgraded, like you said, the offensive line that he gets to play behind. So that could be really scary for the Packers, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's also talk about the defensive changes that happened for the Eagles, because there were quite a few of those as well. Talked about Jason Kelce and that impact on offense. Fellow All-Pro defensive lineman Fletcher Cox also announced his retirement, so he is no longer with the team. So really significant losses for them in terms of leadership, talent, you know, just the effort that they play with. And then, of course, we saw them trade away Hassan Reddick to the Jets, and he had 27 sacks for the Eagles in his last two seasons, had 16 sacks just a year ago. So really talented football player and no longer part of that edge rotation.
It's a
new unit now. They brought in Bryce Huff in free agency, who did have a 10 sack season for the Jets in 2023, but definitely more of an unproven commodity that they're hoping kind of lives up to that second contract.
Yes. And it's looking like so far the Eagles are winning that trade, considering Hassan Reddick is probably not going to play for the Jets since he's holding out for a new contract. If you are a longtime listener of the show, you know how much Maggie and I adore Fletcher Cox. Even when he was part of our rival, the Bears, he was a fantastic player. We used to call it a Fletcher Cox size hole in the defensive line when he was not able to play. He was just an absolute monster. So just a huge loss for any team that loses a guy like him to replace. They still have a solid defensive front that the Packers are going to have to contend with. Matt LaFleur had only like incredible things to say about Jordan Davis when asked about him in press conference, still ascending young player. They are looking to get more out of N'Kobe Dean this season after drafting him from the George Bulldogs that we know Goot loves. They have Josh Sweat, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Darius Slay is somehow still playing out there in the secondary. So they drafted Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, who are both players that I know Packers fans loved in this draft, also in the secondary. So they've got some great players, some young players who are still trying to prove themselves too. So it'll be interesting to see where they're at in their development, but definitely not the same more like vet leaning defense that we've seen in the last few years from the Eagles.
Yeah. And I think it's also really interesting that a change was needed. We can talk about their defensive stats in a minute, but brought in Vic Fangio after only one season with the Dolphins. He decided, you know, to come over to Philadelphia. So he is the brand new defensive coordinator for the Eagles. And I don't know what your take on this is, but I think that Nick Sirianni's seat is pretty hot after the implosion in the playoffs. So I think that this was potentially a career saving/career defining move to come in and have somebody that you're confident in can kind of turn this unit around. So last season, the Eagles were 30th in points against, which is really surprising because we've talked about the talent that they had on the defensive side of the ball, but they were 30th in points against, averaged 25.2 points per game, 31st in third down conversions, 30th in red zone percentage, and allowed a touchdown on 66% of red zone trips, which was really surprising to me. And I think it kind of reminds me of like the 2019-2020 Packers, where they just score points, you know, and like if you have such a high powered offense, doesn't really matter how many points your defense gives up, you're still going to go 11-6 and make the playoffs. And this is kind of an example of that to me, because, you know, I didn't think going back to last season that the Eagles defense was as bad statistically as they showed up.
Yeah. But at the same time, you talk about those aforementioned Packers teams, but just broadly in general, like those are the kind of teams that can usually not keep up when you do make it to the playoffs, because everyone else is there, is a high, probably a high powered offense as well. And you have to be able to make stops. And when you are allowing touchdowns, 66, that's 2/3 the amount of time someone is getting into the red zone, against the best teams in the league, you're probably going to lose games.
Yeah. And I think what's also interesting, because you mentioned you've got Darius Slay, Reed Blankenship is there. They just drafted two new young guys to kind of round out that secondary. Keely Ringo, I know, is going to be a starting corner for them this season.
Yeah. But still have Monte Maddux.
Yeah. Like Philly was not good against the pass last season, which is also surprising because there's some good players in that secondary, but they played really well against the run. They were like 10th on defense and rushing yards. And then when it came to like passing yards, they went down to like 31st in passing yards and passing touchdowns. And again, could definitely change. They completely overhauled that defense, brought in Vic Fangio for a reason, but kind of surprised for the production, I guess, from the guys on that roster.
How much do you think though Vic Fangio is going to do anything? Because we've been seeing the Vic Fangio scheme like not really being able to keep up with the way offenses are evolving in the league right now. And every Vic Fangio style of defense out of his tree in the last season was bottom in the league in defense. So I don't know how confident I am that bringing him in is going to like elevate them.
No, I agree. And I pulled the numbers from the Dolphins because, again, you're like, if you're Vic Fangio and you're with the Dolphins, you've seen an example of a high powered offense directly across from you. Like you're practicing against McDaniel and Tua and all of these guys. And what happened was still the Dolphins, you know, did not have a very great season defensively. I don't think they ranked higher than like 20th.
Yeah.
In any of the categories. So still like some improvement over Philly, but still averaging like 23 points a game, much better on third down than Philly, but struggled, I think, 28th overall in red zone defense. So like not marked improvement from where you would expect them to be.
And it should be a familiar style of defense for those Packers offense to go up against. I mean, this is not brand new. This is not rocket science either. I want to ask you, because we've already seen them classify one player as out. And I want to ask you, like, how much you think this, like, moves the needle at all? Because, like, again, going into week one is always weird, right? We have absolutely zero idea, truly, what any of these teams are going to look like. Like, let's be honest. We're going off of last season. We've already said these teams are completely different. You and I pay attention mostly to the Packers, but even still, we don't really know what they're going to come out and look like week one. I mean, we remember the stinkers the last few seasons against the Saints. Like, nobody knows. So we take this with a grain of salt. However, they've already said that Devin White is out and not playing. And we know the kind of impact. He's maybe not the same player that he's been, but we know what kind of impact Devin White can have, and he's already out. So like, does that move the needle at all for you?
I think it has to, just in the sense that Jordan Love's going to have to get the ball out really quickly. And maybe this is where we segue into how do the Packers win this game, is Jordan Love getting the ball out, because I don't know if you trust Josh Myers and either Sean Ryan or Jordan Morgan against Jalen Carter. And you already mentioned Jordan Davis. Like, these are huge field eaters in the middle of the defense that are going to generate a ton of pressure, get their hands up to swap passes.
Yeah.
And if Jordan Love has to lean on the quick game a little bit, you look at like your tight ends or Jaden Reed in the slot. And I think that's where you can kind of expose a weakness in that defensive side of the ball. So I think it moves the needle. I don't know if it moves it a ton. Like it's not an immediate win now for the Packers as much as it would be if some other defensive players were out. But yeah, I think Devin White is a more significant loss than maybe we're anticipating.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so you think quick game. I think it's the run game. I think everybody is going to be high jitters, high adrenaline. It's also a completely unfamiliar environment. We didn't necessarily touch on the Brazil piece at the beginning of the episode, but I do want to just say, like, we know, I have no idea what the Brazil fan base is for the Eagles, but I know for a fact that Brazil has a ginormous Packers fan base. So I am expecting it to be loud for the Packers, which I don't know what kind of advantage necessarily that gives them. It's neither here nor there, quite frankly. But regardless, it's an unfamiliar environment. And I think just everyone is going to be on high. Establishing the run is going to be key to me. Getting the run game early and often, getting Josh Jacobs going, getting the rhythm, settling everybody down. I think you hit the nail on the head with the quick pass game. Just get some early, quick completions going, and getting this offense rolling is going to be an absolute key to me. But I think in general, just seeing Josh Jacobs get 4 or 5 yards in that first drive, seeing how they do against this defensive front, if they can get those yards against them, is going to show me as I'm watching how I think a little bit how this game is going to go. I have no doubt that over the course of this season, this Packers team is going to be much more of a passing offense. But I think for this game in particular, to get them settled and running and getting this offense running appropriately, if they can't get the run game going, it's over.
Yeah. And I think part of that is, you know, we don't know what it looks like. He probably will play, but Tucker Kraft now has a back injury. Mm-hmm. And I know Aaron Nagler was joking about, you know, what's better for a back injury than having to sit for 10 hours on a flight? Like, we don't know what his back's going to look like in Brazil and if it'll keep him from playing, but he's one of your blockers, you know, primarily that you might be without. We don't know who of Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson are playing. Sounds like they both could be available, but we know that Lloyd is dealing with the hamstring. Emmanuel Wilson has a hip injury. So you don't know what your relief back situation even is at this point behind Josh Jacobs, or maybe if they would elevate someone from the practice squad come game day. So I think that it is probably going to be a slog for Josh Jacobs. Like you said, he's probably going to get pretty run down this game because we just don't know who is going to be available as a support piece. But I think that's why, one, the quick game is going to be so important, and two, it also benefits the Packers to have such speedy receivers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw Darius Slay joking about how he had to hold Christian Watson last time they played because he just didn't realize how fast he was. And I think those are the little things that if Love and Watson are hot, that's the first check for your game. You know, like those things are going to make it a much more manageable and winnable game.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a possibility where the Packers come out swinging and they decide to pull, you know, a 30, 40 yard bomb to any one of their top four receivers. But I think the best games that the Packers have is when Matt LaFleur comes out first drive and calls a 9-12 play drive for a touchdown, because they get them in rhythm. It's the ball possession. It's all the buzzwords. We don't need to go into it. And I think especially in this environment, it's not Lambeau, right? We're not at home. We don't have the crowd. It's not a familiar environment. It's going to set the stage for them to be like, okay, we're in our playbook. We're running our offense. We feel good about what we're doing here. as opposed to trying to go out with something big and flashy in a place where they've never played before.
Yeah, I agree. So let's flip it before we talk about the Eagles to the Packers defense, because obviously we've talked all offseason about the changes. Xavier McKinney, of course, the newest, best addition probably for this Packers defense that we've seen in a while. Javon Bullard looks like he is going to be the starter opposite him, at least in some packages. We should see some Evan Williams, I would imagine. Eric Stokes gets the nod early on the depth chart opposite Jair Alexander. We know that, yes, a lot of base packages in the NFL now are nickel packages, but transitioning, of course, in the Jeff Hafley defense to a 4-3. What do you think about this Packers defense? And I know there's a lot of new things we're going to look at, but how do you slow down a prolific Eagles offense with the pieces that Jeff Hafley has available?
I don't know what to expect necessarily with this defense, because in my mind, I don't know if they're necessarily going to look that different than what we've seen. And I know people are very excited. We may have an extra linebacker on the field, or we're going to see more of Lucas Van Ness with his hand in the dirt, more just defensive linemen with their hands in the dirt necessarily. I think we're going to see a lot more sticky coverage on both AJ Brown and on Devontae Smith, that for sure, from both our boundary corners. But I think just getting after Jalen Hurts is going to be number one. And I think we're going to see Jeff Hafley call a lot more plays in a pass rush sense for that. But I don't know, again, it's week one. And I just don't know if we're going to be seeing like the fancy schmancy blitzes and stunts and all of that. Like, this is their first game playing together. And not to say that, like, I think it's going to look vanilla, because that's not what I'm saying, but I just think that it's not going to be necessarily as exciting as fans are hoping for, which I know listeners are probably not that happy about. But it'll be more man, right? And it'll be stickier coverage from our corners. And I think they're going to play a lot more aggressively. And rush. We're not going to see any more three-man rushes, but I just don't know if it's going to look necessarily supremely different. Do you disagree?
I don't know if I disagree, but I think that it's going to be different in, like, I think the thing I disagree with is that I don't think that it's necessarily going to be vanilla. And I know it's not the word that you necessarily meant, but I think the benefit for this Packers defense with Vic Fangio, there's like decades of tape. And I know that with Jeff Hafley, you can go back and look at Boston College. You can look at his tendencies from when he was with the 49ers and with the Browns many years ago. But if he wants to come out and throw like a 7-man rush out there just for fun, like, this is the time that he can be really creative. And I think that's how you rattle a guy like Jalen Hurts. You know, like, they have to make him uncomfortable. And I think that we're going to see some really creative opportunities, whether it's like Xavier McKinney on a blitz, Javon Bullard, like whoever they want to send to just get him rattled, because that's where the Packers really struggled last season. They were like 28th in the league in turnovers. I think they had like 7 picks all year. So I think that like disruption is what's going to buy time for the secondary to actually make plays, whether it's, like you said, Lucas Van Ness with his hand in the dirt, if you rush like Quay Walker, if you send Isaiah McDuffie, like, That's what I'm excited for, is just how is his pass rush arsenal going to look different than what we've kind of seen in the past.
For sure. I think it will also depend on who is available, because there's still a ton of questionables going into this game. We don't know if Edge Cooper is going to play. Carrington Valentine is still dealing with a hamstring injury. So if he has the rotation, if he has everybody at his disposal and the rotation there, that'll be interesting to me too, versus if all of those guys end up not playing, which I think it's going to be the former. I think everyone is going to end up suiting up. It's just a matter of how much they play, because like I just said, I mean, Carrington Valentine, Edrin Cooper, like, these guys didn't play a lot in the preseason either. They didn't play. They haven't practiced. So it's another thing, is it's a matter of like, have they practice enough together? Do they know the calls? Is the communication there? I'm not trying to be a downer on this defense. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about this defense. I just think it's week one, and I guess not to get like too hype about it too early. I think we're going to ease. I have a feeling we're going to ease into this. I also think that there's a world where we see a lot more of the vets on this team, because Jalen Hurts is a prolific runner and they're going to need to set the edge like nobody's business. And so we're going to see like a lot of Preston and a lot of Kenny, right? And a lot, like, we're going to need those guys who you can trust to do that. I want to see the guys who can like close the gap the best, right? Like, yep. This is like things that we haven't seen in the past, because Jalen will just like take the ball and run all over you, even without Saquon Barkley. And that backfield of the two of them scares me a little bit. And while they've gotten better in the run game, this Packers defense, like, it has been their Achilles heel for a really long time. And I think they have some gap shooters on this team now, but I don't know how they're going to use them, and I don't know how they're going to play yet. I'm excited about Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard and Evan Wilson and, you know, Quay and Cooper and all the guys we've talked about and the defensive line. But until we get out there and we see them like stuff Saquon Barkley, I don't know how I feel yet about this run defense.
Okay, so let's flip it. And we talked about how we think the Packers can win. You kind of said it a little bit, but how then do the Eagles win this football game against this Packers team?
They run all over them. It's the same old that we've seen for the last few seasons, is, you know, the Eagles run for 300 plus yards and keep the Packers offense off the field. Now, I say this saying, I don't think this is going to happen. I do not think this is going to happen. But if I am the Eagles, this is what I'm going in trying to do, because historically, this is what you should try to do against this Packers defense.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of going back to that, we don't know what the game time, like kickoff temperature is going to be. It looks like it's in the 80s. So we'll see come kickoff. But another point that we've seen is, you know, you gas out the defense. And the same way you talked about wanting to see Matt LaFleur put together like a 9-12 play drive and just methodical, steady burn the clock. Nothing aggravates a defense more than consistent 4-yard plays that like slowly moving the chains. You're on the field, you're tired. If Jeff Hafley doesn't have time to sub out, like if they're, you know, getting to the line just with enough time so that Hafley can't sub, but they're still burning clock and guys are getting gassed. That takes a toll on any defense. It's the same thing we could say about the Packers and how they beat the Eagles. But I think the Eagles have the personnel to do it, because we know historically that Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley can pick up those like dirty 3-4 yards. And once you've finally gotten a hit at defending the run, then here comes A.J. Brown. You know, so it's just a very difficult kind of pick your poison when it comes to this Eagles offense. And that's why the things you mentioned, like gap integrity, that's all going to be so important against an Eagles offense that really can kind of do it all.
Yeah, they can. And like we've said it earlier when we were talking about their changes, but they very, like, as we were talking about this team, I'm like, damn, they've really upgraded the run game, which a team that was superb at running the ball already is quite scary. But I want to end on a high note.
Please.
Because I feel as though I was a bit of a downer in this episode and I didn't mean to be. So I do feel like the energy that this Packers team is bringing into this game is going to transcend. They're bringing it on the plane. And I am very excited to see what this like iteration of this offense looks like. What Jordan Love looks like in year two, right? The Packers have a quarterback who is 1 year post leading this team. He has a year of experience and football knowledge and tape study under his belt. And I don't think that can that's not underrate that. And the one thing I do want to note, we talked about injuries before, is that like if Romeo Doubs plays or not, I think that also moves the needle a bit for me in this offense, just because he had such a great camp and he is a bit of that. I don't want to call it security blanket for Jordan Love, because that feels a little dramatic, but he kind of is. Yeah, like he kind of is. So that's something I'm watching for the rest of this week. But this Packers offense ended the 2023 season as a really strong unit and also got better, has also gotten better adding pieces. So I think they're going to come out strong and I think they're going to come out swinging. But week one is a weird one.
Yeah.
It just has always been a weird one. So I don't want to say it's going to be high scoring, but I think both teams will put up points and it'll be somewhere in the 20s.
Yeah, when I was going back for the six pack, I think it's like the last five games that the Eagles and Packers have played, the Packers have put up 27 plus. And that's kind of where I'm at, like the 27, 24, 31, 28, 27. Like, I think it's going to be close. And blame Aaron Nagler and Andy Herman for this on their Let's Talk Football podcast. They were joking about the Packers being down by two and sending out Braden Narveson for a 48-yard field goal to win the game with 2 seconds left on the clock. So if that happens, you know who to talk to. But yeah, it feels like it could go either way. And that feels like a cop-out, but mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Packers. I think that there's enough momentum and juice, like you said, and they ended, yes, on a sad note, obviously, but with such energy around this team that I think that they're going to be kind of ready for whatever punches the Eagles are going to throw. Like, the Eagles have a much more bitter taste in how their season, you know, like that was rough and they lost some really vocal leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers as a core really only added leaders. You know, you added Jacobs and McKinney and Jeff Hafley, who it sounds like the secondary just like adore. So I think given that it's an unfamiliar place, maybe if it was in Philly, I'd feel differently.
Yeah.
But you're in Brazil. Both teams are jet lagged. Nobody has tape on each other. Nobody knows what to expect. I think the Packers are going to win this one in a game that's a little too close for comfort. But if they lose, it's not the end of the world because it's week one.
If it was in Philly, I'd be taking the Eagles. I am going to also take the Packers. I'm feeling 27-23, 27-24. Like, I do think it's going to be a very close game. And if it's flipped, I also wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be a great matchup. I think they match up quite nicely, like their skills and the things that they can pick apart from each other. I'm really excited to see them go head to head, especially because this was the game where we really saw in 2022 when Rodgers went out briefly due to injury and Jordan had to come in as his backup. This is like really where we saw Jordan. I mean, it was just one touchdown, right? But we were like, oh, Jordan, look at you improve from the Chiefs game, right? Like there's some history here with the Eagles for him. So I'll do the homer take because it's week one and we have like literally no idea what either of these teams are going to look like, but I do agree with you. It's going to be close.
Yeah. We can only hope that it's like the 2010 season where the Packers beat the Eagles in the regular season, beat them again in the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. That would be a nice way to start this season. We're going to send Super Bowl vibes. That's the aura of this season. Those are the vibes that we're sending into the atmosphere. But thank you, as always, for joining us. This has been the Packs What She Said podcast. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. If you're listening on YouTube, thank you so much for liking and subscribing to the show. We appreciate it if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find your favorite shows. Remember that on Spotify, you can also catch the video version. It doesn't have to be just on YouTube. And you can also become a supporter on Spotify if you love what we're doing. But we'll be back after the game to tell you all the things about it. Can't wait to break it down and get to watch football on Fridays. Thank you, as always, for listening. And go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.